So Matthew chapter 1 from verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What were you hoping for this Christmas in your own life? What is your hope? For many Christians, Christmas is about fun and family, you know, getting together and hoping for maybe gifts and great times and good rest, which is not a bad thing. But for many others, this is the most difficult time of the year because it's forgetting. It's about a time you want to forget everything. It's a time of discouragement. It's a time of loneliness. And we can so easily be trapped in our own world and just thinking, you know, this is what I feel, so this is what Christmas is like. But there are many people who are really struggling during Christmas. Just a painful reminder of the broken relationships, the failures, the lost loved ones, and financial hardships. It's sort of this time of the year, it just makes everyone, brings us to a reflection. You just start thinking about your life and about everything that's passed. Thing is, whatever feelings you may have this Christmas, the Bible tells us so clearly that there's hope. There's hope for every single person on this planet. The good news that can give us hope and joy, no matter what's going on in your life. It's a hope that's greater than any discouragement, any pain, any brokenness that you may be experiencing. And the thing is, if you think about hope for a moment, hope is essential for living. No one can live without hope. Think of any survival kind of situation. You know, we all read stories about people cutting off their hands or their feet or something to get away and, you know, being stranded in this place where there's nothing. And the one thing that you cannot lose if you want to try and survive is hope. Hope is essential for you to stay alive. Hope is the light at the end of the tunnel. It's the star by which we navigate our lives. It's the wind in our sails. And I want to tell you the Christian hope that we're speaking about this morning is not just a feeling that you wish for something might happen, that something good might come out of this. That's not what Christian hope is about. It's not that at all. It's not a feeling. This hope is a person. This hope is in the person of Jesus Christ. And so today, for those of you who are taking note, I've just entitled the study, The Hope of Christmas. And we're going to be looking at a couple of people who are just touched by this hope. First thing you can write down is it's an eternal hope. Look there at verse 18. It says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. So stop there for a moment. Let's just understand the context. It says, The birth of Jesus was as follows. The hope of God's people during this time was at an all-time low. The nation was despondent. You know, for 400 years, think about it, God was silent. The last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, was the last time God spoke through his prophet. For 400 years, there's been a silence. People have been trying to hear from God. They've been trying everything, but God was silent. He didn't speak. Just think about that in your relationship with the Lord. Maybe there's a brief period of silence with the Lord where you don't hear him speak to you clearly and you all get all discouraged. Well, this is what's happened in Israel during this time. There was no prophecy, no sign, no word from God. Most Jews were caught in a dead religion. Some Jews had a dim hope that was growing dimmer by the day. There was a general expectation of the Messiah to come. So there was sort of a hope under the surface, but on everyone's heart was just that thing where 400 years we haven't heard anything from God. And, you know, Matthew doesn't really go into the detail of the birth of Christ. Luke is the one who does that. But it says there, after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, once again, that word betrothed in the King James Version, it says espoused. In the ancient Hebrew marriage, you know, there was three different stages. The first one was the engagement stage. And this could happen at a young age even. Even when the kids were still young, parents could get together and say, you know, one day my boy, you know, is going to marry your girl. And it's sort of when you're like in kindergarten together, you could already be engaged to be married one day. That was the kind of thing that happened. The second stage was the betrothal. That's where the engagement was made official and binding. It's where the husband and the wife came together with the parents. They drank the cup and they made the covenant. And so for every, well, they were basically married for everything except getting together physically. They still lived apart until the day that the bridegroom would come and get his bride to himself. And so they were married. And as far as the law was concerned, she had to divorce him at that stage if she wanted to go away from him. But they didn't live together. There was no sexual union between them. And that's where marriage comes in. The third step took place after the wedding. And that's after that normally a year of betrothal. It says before they came together, if you have a look at that in your Bible. Before they were married, it's referring mainly to the consummation of marriage, which is the sexual union. And very clear that she had no relationship with Joseph, that kind of relationship at this stage. The Bible makes it very clear. And it says, she was found with child. So think about it for a moment. Let's take Mary first of all, if we want to look at hope this morning. Mary was a young girl. She was at marriageable age. You know, we don't know exactly her age, but she was probably not that far from childhood herself. Mary was this young girl. And a young betrothed unmarried girl, and suddenly she's pregnant. And in that day, in that age, it was terrible. It's not like today, you know, it's just widely accepted. In that day, it was an abomination before the eyes of the Lord, like it still is, but the people saw it like that. It was a disgraceful thing for a family. You know, she could be stoned for that. In Deuteronomy 22, it talks about that. If her husband found anything in her that she was not a virgin, that she has been with some other man during that time, he could pick up a stone and everyone would follow him and they would kill her right there. So she could be stoned at this moment. There she was, this young girl, a whole life ahead of her. I don't know what her plans and her dreams were, but suddenly everything changed in that moment. Think about, you know, just that disgrace on the family. Think about the discussions maybe she had with her parents. Like, Mary, how could you do that? I didn't. What are you talking about? It's clear. It's evident. How could you do that? You know, who was it? Don't you want to tell us? Was it a soldier? Who was it? It was the Holy Spirit. Yeah, right. Who's going to believe that? Just think about what she went through at that moment. Her whole life has crumbled. She disgraced her family and she didn't do anything. She didn't do anything wrong at this moment. It says it was of the Holy Spirit. So obviously, don't lie, Mary. Don't tell us some kind of thing like that. It was God who did this. It's clearly you did it. The evidence is there. Talk about shattered hope and dreams. Because at that moment, everything that she was hoping for, whatever that might have been for her life ahead, suddenly everything came tumbling and crashing down on her. And she could probably just see darkness at that moment. You know, whole world falling apart. Yet, a while later, she went. Because the angel also told her, if we read from the other gospel account, that she traveled to Elizabeth. And as she went there, Elizabeth spoke out in Luke 1:42 with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Luke 1:45, she says, "Blessed is she who believed, for if there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." So Elizabeth is saying, no matter your current situation, Mary, you are blessed beyond belief. If you believe this thing, what the Lord told you, it's by the Holy Spirit, you are the blessed of all women. God spoke to you. For 400 years, people have been trying to hear the voice of the Lord, and God spoke to you just like he spoke to Zechariah a few, you know, a little bit before that. So Mary, you are blessed. No one has heard the Lord speak in such a long time. This is a great thing for you. And even at this situation of Mary, even as Jesus Christ was introduced into Mary's womb, a new hope was being proclaimed. Because even at this early stage, the Christian message that we have today was so clear, as it says in Matthew 16:24 and 25. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, will find it." So Mary, God wants to do a work in your life. No longer Does he want you to live for your hopes and your dreams? He wants to give you new hope and a new dream. That's his. He wants to change everything in your life. And at this moment, it may sound very dark and very strange, but God is in control. He has a plan for you. He has a far greater hope. He has a hope of eternal life, something that was never announced before. And so I want to tell you, I don't know where you are this Christmas. You know, we can all sit with smiling faces, but maybe you're hurting inside. I just want to tell you, wherever you find yourself, no matter if it's a lonely place, no matter if it's a difficult spot, there is hope for you, a far greater hope. It's important to remember the hope of Christmas. Because the hope of Christmas is the eternal hope. It was introduced in his incarnation when God became a man, where Jesus Christ, he totally emptied himself of his divinity. He became one of us. Just think about that humility that it took from him. And this was the most miraculous thing, and that means that it brings us a most miraculous hope. Psalm 146 verse 5 says, "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." You see, Jesus Christ came for one reason, to bring hope to this dark world. The world was in darkness, and he was like this bright, shining new light. Because we read in John's Gospel that the Word was in the beginning, that the Word was light. This world was totally dark. Just like if you look around you at your workplace, at your school, wherever you may find yourself in this holiday time, you look around you, what the people are doing, how they're celebrating Christmas, it's a dark world. But Jesus is the light who stepped into that. He came to bring hope. He's the very reason we have hope. But secondly, let's not just look at Mary. Look there at the next verse in verse 19. It says, "Then Joseph, her husband, because they were betrothed, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." So Joseph, he's the next guy. He was upright Jewish man. And so think about him. All the plans he had. "I've got this beautiful young girl that I'm going to marry. I'm busy preparing a home for her," probably, because in that year what the bridegroom normally did is he was preparing a house, probably onto his father's house, was building a place for them to live. And so he was excited. He was looking towards the future with this girl, you know, having many children. And the thing about Joseph, it says he was a just man. It means he was a righteous man in the sense that he was trying with everything in him to observe God's divine law. He was trying to keep the law. It means Joseph was one of those Israelites in whom there was no deceit. He was an Israelite who was trying with everything in him to please God. He was trying to live for God. And now this. And just think what he must be thinking at this stage. Like, "Mary, I thought you were a virtuous woman. What did you do? I can't believe what happened. You know, I love you and I've betrothed myself to you." I think it must have been a great shock for him. Suddenly all his future hopes and dreams with the girl that he loved, you know, just disappeared like fog before the sun. It was just gone. His whole life came crashing in. "God, why is this happening to me?" Just think of what he could say, all the reasoning. "God, all I wanted to do with my life is serve you wholeheartedly. I've given everything for that. And look where I am. Lord, I don't understand what's going on. Lord, I didn't do anything wrong. And now every eye is looking at me as though, you know, I was wrong behind the scenes where no one could see me. Everyone's suddenly doubting, you know, my zeal and my fervor towards you, God. So why did she do it? Lord, what must I do?" It says there, he was planning to put her away secretly. And that's the best thing that he could do, really, because suddenly all the hope was lost for his relationship with this girl. Suddenly everything that he had planned, like this is how things are going to work, suddenly things don't work that way anymore. And because he loved her, we can see that from this, he really loved her. And he thought, "Well, I'm not going to make an accusation against her, because as soon as I accuse her, she's going to be stoned, she's going to be killed. But if I don't accuse her, then people are going to look at me as though I'm sort of the guilty party, but at least then she'll live." And so he thought about trying to sort of secretly somehow just divorce her, because he was planning to divorce her secretly. And even though, you know, he must have had a broken heart, he didn't want her to be killed for that, because he still loved her. And I want to ask you again, do you have hope this morning? In your situation, wherever you may find yourself, maybe it's a situation that's not evident to someone else, but it's just in your heart. You are struggling with something and you just think it's so big, it's so huge. Or maybe you feel your world is crashing in. Do you have hope this morning? And I want to ask you, where is that hope? In what is that hope? Because that makes a huge difference. And this is what we see in Joseph's life. Because Joseph's hope at the moment was misplaced, because his hope was probably in something that could change. And I want to tell you, if you have hope in anything that could change, anything that's in this earth, if your hope is in a person or a relationship or a job or your finances or anything else in this world, you are bound to be disappointed sometime. Nothing in this world is secure. Joseph's hope was not in the Lord in this situation. He gave up. He's like, I'm going to have to divorce her. And oftentimes I find that God allows crises in our life to try and bring us to a point where we can understand that He wants to work with us. Both Joseph and Mary, they were righteous people trying to serve the Lord, loving the Lord. And suddenly, they were in a bad spot because they were just doing the right thing before God. And they couldn't understand it. It's because God was at work here. And oftentimes, when things go wrong, you know, we look to God and we say, Lord, why? We don't just accept it that the Lord is busy with His almighty knowledge that knows all things about you, trying to work something else out in you, something much greater. And so to introduce us to the hope that cannot fade or disappoint or be misplaced, that's why Jesus Christ came, the eternal hope. Listen what Hebrews 6 verse 19 says. It says, this hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. I want to tell you, this is an incomparable hope. There's no hope like this. The kind of hope that can bring you behind the veil. That means in the holiest of holy before God. The place that you could never enter into before Jesus came to this earth. We read about that when we went through Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, when you guys were here of that time. What a marvelous book telling of this amazing high priest that we have, the only one who ushers us into God's presence. Do you know that you as a Christian today can go into your room, you can close the door, and you can speak to your Father in a way that no Jew in this day could speak to the Father. They would not dare approach Him like that. This is the hope that we have. But we find that to get this eternal, amazing hope, you have to give up your hopes and dreams. You have to give up the things of this world, all the temporary hopes, to receive the eternal hope. Because if your hope is in riches, in success, in science, in health, in church, in relationship, if your hope is even in yourself. I used to know a guy. He always used to say, you know, I keep myself alive. And I thought, man, you don't know what you're talking about. It's by God's grace that you are alive still. Do you understand? You will be disappointed sooner or later because riches don't last, science changes, and people fail. Your only real hope can be the eternal hope. One doesn't change, one who can't lie, one who lives forever, the eternal hope in Jesus Christ. And He calls you afresh this morning on Christmas. This hope is also, if you're taking note, a promised hope. Number 2, look at verse 20. It says, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So now Joseph was really puzzled because, like most of us, when something goes wrong in our life, we try to figure out how we're going to fix it. And Joseph was probably sitting there thinking like, what am I going to do about this? What's the best way to handle it? We know there's only one way to handle it. You run to God and pray. Lord, I don't know how to do this. Lord, but you know. And so I love the word while. While he was busy thinking about this. Guess what? While he was busy thinking about this, God was busy working. God never gives up. God knows always what to do. I said to you this before, God never goes, oops, I didn't think of that. I didn't plan of that. God's always in control. And so while we are stressing and freaking out about the things that's going on in life, Jesus is at work. God wasn't absent in the situation. He was busy working out the plan of salvation that He promised such a long time ago. Titus 1 verse 2 tells us, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. That's the ultimate. There's nothing that can get to you. Someone who cannot tell a lie promises something from eternity to eternity. It's going to be true. And so God appeared to him. We read there in verse 20, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. So God speaks to him in a memorable way. Once again, I find that true in our lives. Because sometimes God wants to get your attention, and He tries to speak to you, and you don't hear. Because the voice of the Holy Spirit is a very quiet voice. And God tries to speak a bit louder because He really wants to get your attention, and we don't hear. And sometimes He allows a crisis in our lives to get our attention, and still we try to figure out how we're going to manage the crisis. We still don't run to the Lord. And often we don't want to believe things that we cannot figure out, and God wants Joseph to be on board. So He sends an angel. You think that'll get your attention? Maybe. You know, that might get your attention. And this angel, he says, he speaks to him as the son of David. And he immediately, the first thing he says, he references his legal lineage to the throne of David, reminding him of the promise in Isaiah 11 that God made to David. He says, do not be afraid. God calms him down. The angel calms him down. You see, every time people see an angel, they say, calm down, don't be afraid. You know, because it's an awesome sight every single time. God calms him down. Don't worry, Joseph, because this is my plan. Why was he afraid at this stage? Everything that he had hoped to achieve in his life was shattered. He was in confusion. He couldn't make sense of any of it. And God's saying to him through the angel, Joseph, relax. I've got the future in my hand. I'm totally, totally in control of this. You don't need to divorce Mary. Just trust me. Things will all work out if you just walk with me. How many times have you been in a situation where you could see no way out? You ran to God. You gave yourself completely to Him, just trusting Him in blind faith. And amazingly, things by His leading worked out much better than you could have ever planned. That's the way God works. Nothing is ever impossible. And I think that the reason why we get stressed up and worked up is because we lose focus on who God is. That He's got everything in His hand. There's nothing that He cannot do. So He's saying, don't worry, you don't need to divorce Mary. And I want to ask you this morning again, if you're afraid of something today, then maybe it's something you need to lay down before the Lord. Maybe during this time of the year, there's something on your heart and you need to lay this down before God. Because God promises a hope and He cannot lie. And the angel also says to him there in verse 20, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to your Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now he tells him exactly the same thing that Mary's been saying. Mary's been saying, I tell you, it's the Holy Spirit. It wasn't me. And everyone's like, no, we don't believe you. Now he tells Joseph in a dream, Joseph, what Mary said is true. This is of the Holy Spirit, confirming Mary's testimony, what had happened. And now suddenly, in that moment, you know what happens? Joseph believes her. Suddenly she's got someone who's on her side that knows that she's speaking the truth because God spoke to him too. Don't be afraid of the future, Joseph. And the thing is, it takes only that one moment with the angel to change Joseph's whole understanding and bring back his hope. And then we read in verse 21, it says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So that's the reason why you shouldn't be afraid. If you're afraid in any situation in your life, Jesus is the answer. Maybe if you think there's no way out, there's no other answer, I don't know what to do, if your world feels like it's crashing in, Jesus. Because there's a promise hoped in the person of Jesus. And the word Jesus is the Hebrew word Yeshua or Yehoshua, and it means that Yahweh, God, is salvation. That's what that word means. It means God is salvation. And it's interesting because in the Hebrew, we know that Joshua is the same name. Joshua is Yehoshua. It's the same name that he had. And just as Moses couldn't lead the people into the promised land because he was representing the law, in the same way, the law can never take you closer to God because that representation is Jesus. He is the only one who can save his people. And that's exactly what it says. He will save his people. So this is the reason why Jesus came as a savior to save his people as promised. Listen to Galatians 4:4. It says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Whenever you are stressing or worrying about your life, you don't know which direction to turn, God's timing is always the perfect timing. It's in the fullness of time. We always think God's late. We're always like, Lord, can't you just do this a bit quicker? But Lord doesn't work that way because his timing is perfect. God's timing is always in the fullness of time. And that fulfilled prophecy just shows God's single plan for salvation in his perfect timing. It says Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. And that is the bad news for this world. We are all born as sinners into this life. Every single baby that gets born into life, that is given life by its mom, is born into sin. That's the bad news. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Without Jesus, we have no hope and only death to look forward to. There's no hope in that. Like 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says. But Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's the difference. The bad news is always there's sin. You are a sinner. All of us are sinners. But the good news is that Jesus Christ came to give us eternal life the hope of Christmas. And I want to tell you again, it's the most precious hope that is ever given, salvation in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus meets you in your sin, just like he came into this world to live among us. In the same way, in all of our lives, he meets us in the place of sin. He doesn't say you need to clean yourself up and then you can come to me. He meets us right there, but he never wants to leave you in your sin. He wants to save you from your sin. He wants to bring you out of your sin. He saves us from the penalty of sin, which is death. He also saves us from the power of sin. If you're a Christian, you've given your life to the Lord, it changes everything in you. Suddenly, the enemy has no longer power over your life. And it also saves us from the presence of sin, ultimately. At the moment, we're still in these bodies. Until we see the Lord face to face, we are still going to struggle with sin in some kind of capacity. But one day, when we see Jesus face to face, the presence of sin will also be dealt with. He also paid for that. It says in verse 22, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet." And that's always how God speaks. What he's saying is, it's a done deal because God has said it. For 400 years, there's been nothing. And now God has spoken, and it's a fulfillment of the prophecy that he's given before. And we all know that if God has said something, you know, that'll be. God speaks, that happens. That's the way it always is. Verse 23. "Behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." So here we get to the whole idea of the virgin birth just quickly, and I think it's important, that's why I always mention it. It's part of the fulfillment. The fulfillment that's promised is a virgin shall bear a child. Now, has that ever happened? No. A lot of people will try and tell you, a lot of false teachers will try and tell you, yes, there were pagan religions and all that kind of thing where they had these deities, and that is a bunch of nonsense. This word here is the word parthenos in the Greek. But it references the fulfillment in Isaiah, which is the word Alma in the Hebrew, which can only mean virgin. That's all that word can mean in the Hebrew. Although parthenos, it can mean young girl and it can mean virgin, it references the scripture in Isaiah, which can only mean virgin. And so clearly supernatural is, conception is meant here. And Jesus, let me tell you, if he wasn't born of a virgin, then there will be no salvation for us, because that's part of the prophecy. Born from a virgin, from a young girl who's never been with a man, and that is the sign to you. So just any girl conceiving is not hardly a sign. It's specifically that a virgin will bring forth a son. That is the sign. And that's what makes it so amazing, because Isaiah 7 verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin," and in this sense, in the Hebrew, it can only mean virgin. It says, "shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Let me tell you, this is a huge sign. And then we get to this beautiful word, Emmanuel, and I think this is what today sort of is built on, is centered on. The word Emmanuel translated, "God with us." It's amazing to me to see how low God bent down to come and save us. The Bible says, "God so loved the world," but this is the picture of that. God didn't need us. He didn't need anything from us. He was exalted in heaven, in glory, and then Jesus came down to this earth to be, you know, become one of us. It doesn't make any sense to us. And this is the best part of the promised hope, is God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. And I want to tell you today, if you're a Christian, if you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel is the word that you must hold on to, because it means the hope is always with you. Jesus Christ is with you. Remember, even as he left, his disciples said, "Lord, you can't leave us." And he says, "If I don't go away, I cannot give you the help of the Holy Spirit." Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit, is dwelling with every Christian today. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That's what the Bible says. Emmanuel, God with us. And that's the best part. We have hope because Jesus came as a man. He lived and died, rose again victorious. And for those of us who are born again in Jesus, we are no longer hopeless. The scripture says in Titus 2, 11 and 14, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." You see, we have the hope of a glorious future with God forever and ever. And you know what? If you're a Christian, a true Christian, nothing can take that away from you. That hope is there. No matter what happens in your life, It's irrelevant. Revelation 21 verse 4 says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. This is what heaven is like. That's what the eternity is like. There's no more these things of earth. It's a glorious place, and that's the place that our hope is in. We're going to be there with Christ for eternity. Revelation 22:3 says, there shall be no more curse. So I want to tell you, if you are experiencing loneliness or depression or hardship or heartache or pressure from no matter what it is, financial pressure or relationship pressure or some kind of pressure, the hope is there and it's eternal with God. None of that stuff will be there. Christ will be there to wipe away every tear from our eyes. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. If you're a true Christian, born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, it's reserved in heaven for you. No one can take that. Isn't it amazing? He calls it a living hope, and that's point number 3 if you are taking note this morning. A living hope. Look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now I love those words in verse 24 that says, he did as commanded. Joseph got up from that dream. You know what? He did exactly what God told him. That's the best thing we can do as Christians. When God speaks, remember, God hasn't spoken for 400 years. Now God speaks. What are you going to do with that? The same thing this morning. I believe that God is speaking to each one in a different capacity this morning. What are you going to do with what God is saying? Joseph did the right thing. He got up. He did exactly what, all his fears were put to rest. It's like suddenly, I'm not worried anymore because God told me things are going to be fine. So he took Mary to him as his wife. He wasn't afraid. He didn't try to put her away secretly anymore. He thought, you know, God's going to see this thing through in his way. He did what the angel told him to do. He didn't waver at all, but he instantly obeyed. And I always tell you, that's the key to the Christian life, is rapid obedience. We just have to walk in obedience to what God says. The thing is, he acted on this living hope. It doesn't help you have living hope this morning and you walk out here depressed or sad or discouraged or lonely. Then that hope means nothing to you. It's like if I'm giving you a blank check for unlimited funds and you take the thing, you put it in your back pocket and you walk out here and you don't do anything with it. That's the same. It's not going to help you at all. I want to tell you this morning that we have a living hope as Christians in every area of your life. And so, thing is, are you going to act on that living hope? Verse 25, he reminded Joseph too. He says, you should call his name Jesus. And it says, he called his name Jesus. And we know that Jesus is the only name in which this living hope is offered. There's no other name under heaven given by which we can be saved. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There's only one way. There's only one name. You can only be saved by Jesus Christ. Doesn't help if you're a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim or whatever. Even if you're devoted as much as you can, all your good works will never save you because you will still have sin in your life. It's only Jesus Christ. The only way that you can partake of this living hope is by acting on it. And again, I want to remind you this morning, we're not preaching a religious system. I'm not telling you 5 steps to go and do or 3 things to go and do today. I'm not saying if you do this and you do this and you do this, your life will work out. You know, you'll have fun on earth and you can be safe in heaven. No. There's only one thing, the main thing, Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that's important. No religious system, no practical principles that can change your life truly. It's only Jesus. It's not about what you have to do, but what Jesus Christ has already done. It's not about how good you are, it's about Jesus Christ being the only perfect one. And so, that's why the bad news is always part of the deal. Because if you accept the bad news, if you accept that you're a sinner, that you're in need of Christ's salvation. Most people today, you meet them outside, celebrating Christmas, you know, with some kind of alcohol or some kind of drugs or some kind of thing. They don't have a clue what's going on. And you tell them about this. But they don't want to accept the fact that they're a sinner. That's why they can't be saved. That's the only thing that Jesus cannot save you from if you continually reject the Holy Spirit. If you say, Lord, I don't need you, because if you tell a person on the street they need Jesus, they're going to say to you, why do I need Jesus? Why do I need Jesus? I'm fine. I'm doing fine. Because they don't realize that there's a sickness in them that's ultimately going to kill them. And that's sin. So if the person, if you can show him the sin in his life, that we are all born as sinners, then suddenly the cure is not that difficult to tell him about. Because, yes, I want to know how to fix this. I'm a sinner, I realize. And then Jesus Christ is the good news. And it makes totally sense to you. See, the living hope in Jesus Christ means that there's God's grace, his restoration, his reconciliation. God's mercy is there, his forgiveness, his patience, his power, his healing and hope. For all sinners, for all people, there's hope. And this is what we have to proclaim as Christians as we leave this place even today. That's why we rejoice, because we have true hope in heaven. That's for eternity. No matter where you find yourself, no matter if you're successful or if you find yourself in a hole, no matter if you're rich or poor, man or woman, doesn't make no difference. It's only Jesus Christ. There's hope for you, and each person must make their own choice. And so like Joseph here, the angel could tell him the good news. The angel could give him the confidence about this hope. But if he didn't act on it, it means nothing. And I want to tell you again this morning, just as we read in the book of James not too long ago, God wants us to be doers of the word. Doesn't it help us all sit here? We know the truth. We need to walk in the truth. And so to receive forgiveness of sin, the free gift of salvation, we must trust in Jesus Christ, receive him as your Savior. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And I want to tell you, lastly, the hope of Christmas is eternal life in Jesus Christ. It's eternal, it's a promised living hope that no one can take away from you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And now is the time to act on that hope that is Jesus Christ offering you this morning. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. None of us can live without hope, especially as a Christian, especially if you have all that hope available to you.